What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm the doctor, by the way. What's your name?
Rose.
Nice to meet you, Rose. Run for your life!
Well, hello, Neverlanders. It's me again. I'm the Pan.
Pan who?
Pan Jeremy. You should probably know that. And no, not that kind of Pan. This is the Neverland Podcast, after all, and I'm here with my faithful companion, Heather.
Hello. So, where have we gone today, Pan?
Well, first we'd all better remember to take our pixie out of our pockets and sprinkle a little bit of pixie dust.
I see you have a new pixie.
Yes. Thanks to Richard and Sarah of Skywalking Through Neverland, I have a neat little Tinkerbell keychain as part of a Comic-Con swag box that I've won through their show. So thanks, Skywalkers. Also, a bonus to those of you that haven't been listening to Skywalking Through Neverland yet, Sarah has now twice used my full name on their show, something that hasn't yet happened here on the Neverland Podcast. So go check out their show, Lost Boys and Pixies.
Well, you haven't told me where we are, Jeremy. So typical of you, just forgetful. Your mind wanders around like a wandering thing that wanders.
Well, it's July 15th, 1955, and as we step out of our Neverland TARDIS, that's time and relative dimension in space, we should be at the opening day of Disneyland.
We'd be quite already. Walt Disney's about ready to make a speech.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome. Disneyland is your land. Here age relives fond memories of the past, and here youth may savor the challenge and promise of the future. Disneyland is dedicated to the ideals, the dreams, and the hard facts that have created America, with the hope that it will be a source of joy and inspiration to all the world.
Doesn't that just give you the warm fuzzies?
Yes, it does, dear.
The doctor must die! Exterminate!
Friends of yours?
I didn't invite them!
Well, we better get out of here!
Well, come on, quick, back to the TARDIS!
We didn't get to write anything!
Well, we'll worry about later. Alonzi, let's go! Well, that was close. That was kind of unexpected. You don't think it was kind of cowardly for us to run away? I mean, maybe we should have done something?
Well, don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's not in recorded history that a bunch of Daleks killed Walt Disney, right? So, no, it's not a problem, right?
I'm sure it'll be okay.
Sure. Well, okay. Well, we better just go on with the show. Oh, my. Well, we do have some news. I suppose we should get to that. Well, let's start with some Marvel news. That sound good?
Sure.
Well, did you know that Adrian Palicki of Friday Night Lights fame has been cast to play Mockingbird in Episode 5 of the upcoming season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Now, Mockingbird, she's able to mimic the fighting ability and sometimes even the powers of any opponent that she faces. So far, I haven't heard anything she's going to have any other appearances, but there are rumors running about that since she was at one point married to Hawkeye, that maybe Jeremy Renner is going to show up?
Guardians of the Galaxy is officially the number one movie in the U.S. for the summer.
Yay!
In 4 weeks, it has grossed $251.9 million, toppling Transformers Age of Extinction, and reclaiming the number one spot from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Which I'm sure it would do easily, because, well, you heard our review. It was okay. Marvel Pop by Funko has created a Dancing Groot bobblehead!
Yay!
Yeah, it's very cute and charming. I'm still hoping for something more interactive. I want a Dancing Groot that reacts when you play music like they used to have in the 90s. Or even if you push a button and it plays something from the soundtrack and he dances. You know, that's what I want.
I bet somebody's working on that. I'd be surprised if they are.
You can buy me one for Christmas.
Mm.
And then I will annoy everyone with it. Look, it's Groot. He dances. I am Groot. Ooga chugga, boogie boogie.
Okay, moving on. An official photo was released of Paul Rudd as Scott Lang, and Evangeline Lilly has released photos of herself as Hope Van Dyne, daughter of Hank Pym and Janet Van Dyne. Woo! All for Marvel's upcoming Ant-Man. Still no word on Hank being mentioned as the original Ant-Man, and Janet as Wasp of Marvel's Avengers.
Yeah, I'd really kind of like to see Wasp in there somewhere, but you know, I haven't heard anything about her being cast as, but I mean, if the daughter's there, they have to mention Janet. So okay, well, let's go on to some Disney news. Walt Disney World has moved up their closing date for American Idol, the American Idol experience. It's now set to close on August 30th of 2014, but there's no word yet on what will be taking its place. Let's hope it's something Star Wars, eh?
Frozen Summer has been such a hit in WDW that they have extended its fun until September 28th.
Yeah, I bet they'll go a little further, because I'm kind of half expecting that it's going to continue to do well. The next thing you know, you're going to have a Frozen Christmas.
They just let it go.
They'll not let it go. There's money in that.
Wow.
Okay, something really cool actually happened over this past weekend. I wish I was there. Villains Unleashed, the Villains Unleashed event was held on August 23rd, and there were some very special appearances by Star Wars villains, including Darth Vader, and the Emperor, and Boba Fett, and some other bounty hunters, and stormtroopers, and there was even an extra special appearance by Captain Gamtu, and also the evil Hamsterville, and an evil version of Maleficent, yay, was on hand for some spectacular fireworks that happened over Walt Disney World.
A gorilla was born in Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Yay!
Born August 7th to mother Azizi and father Gino. The healthy infant has already become an integral member of his family group, which includes two other adult females.
I think that's Kashada.
Kashada and Banga. A four-year-old female named Lily. Oh, and a four-year-old.
And a four-year-old.
Yeah. And
so
a four-year-old. Sorry.
There's already quite the family unit, and now they have a new baby that was just born. So
that's fun.
I wish we had money to go see. We didn't see a baby. I don't think we've ever seen a baby gorilla that young, have we?
I don't think so. I don't think the zoo around here has had a baby gorilla for a long time.
Yeah,
now, baby chimpanzees, yes, but I don't think we've had gorillas. We've had baby orangutans, but just not gorillas.
We did see a baby rhino over at our local zoo once, so we see a lot of animal babies.
And the baby rhino at our zoo, actually, we went there and there was a zookeeper that was saying the female at the Kansas City Zoo is actually a very sought-after mate because she has some wild chimpanzees in her, so
cool.
She probably will have more babies to come as time goes on.
Yeah. Well, the global television debut of Star Wars Rebels, Spark of the Rebellion, is set for Friday, October 3rd, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific, you know, so that's going to be 8 o'clock for us here in Central Time. It's going to be on Disney channels around the world, and it's going to usher in the series Star Wars Rebels beginning on Monday, October 13th on Disney XD. The series is going to air in 34 languages across 163 countries and over 400 million households. Rebels takes place between episodes 3 and 4, and we'll get to talk a lot more about this next week with Richard and Sarah of Skywalking Through Neverland, which I've talked to them to have the conversation, but we haven't scheduled the time, but that is in the works. That is the plan. And now some news beyond Disney.
For James Bond's 24th film, this was just released. Casting has begun for the main assassin, with the search specifically focused on someone extremely physically fit and over 6'2". Whoever wins the role will have several altercations with Daniel Craig's 007 throughout the film, and also a driving sequence. Former sports athletes will be under consideration along with anyone very unusual. The character has had the working name of Hinks, which may change before the shooting starts, and is said to be between 30 and 45 years old. The goal is to find the next Jaws or odd job henchman so different to anything that has gone before that they will instantly become iconic in the film series.
Yay!
More James Bond. I love James Bond.
Well, but plus another great henchman.
Yes.
I mean, how cool is that?
They've gone a while without having somebody quirky. I mean, they had Casino Royale with the guy that, you know, that cried the blood.
Well, yeah, that's the main villain. The main villain always has a weird defect.
Mm-hmm, but not an outrageous one. I mean, like, yeah. You know, you but think good, of when you think of historical James Bond.
Yeah, when you think Jaws and Oddjob as being great henchmen, it's because they have a great weapon. Like Jaws, you know, he had Jaws,
yes,
and then Oddjob with the hat. Ching, you know, that's my sound effect for that.
Ching. Ching.
But so something over into that level just sounds... I'm loving this already before I even know anything about it.
Yeah, they're kind of moving towards more of the, I can't think of his name.
The Sean Connery stuff.
The Sean Connery, yeah, he didn't have quite so much cheesy as, you know, some of the later ones, and I can't think of his name for the life of me.
Roger Moore, perhaps?
Roger Moore, yes, thank you. He had quite a few colorful, you know, he was more of the colorful, a little bit more cheesy James Bond, and some people were like, I hope we don't go that far.
Yeah. Well, it looks like they're going back that way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you look a little down. What are you thinking about?
Well, I still didn't get to ride anything. You promised me a fun day at Disneyland.
I have an idea. You remember when we sent Lost Boy Jesse to the Friends of the Magic 2014 meet a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, hosted by Paul Berry of Window to the Magic and Tony Pascal of Above the Firehouse.
You know, I always thought it was Fireplace.
Friends of the Magic was held at Disneyland, and Jesse already came to the show last week to talk about it. Have you forgotten already?
Well, of course not. I just have an idea. But first, I guess I'd better make a little announcement.
Main Street. Main Street. Meet me tonight on Main Street.
Once a year, Disney fans from all across the country converge on one little town. Once a year, cartoonists and artists are invited to share their talents, stories, and art with these Disney fans. Once a year, the magic of Disney is centrally located in one place, Walt Disney's boyhood home, Marceline, Missouri. The Neverland Podcast invites you to come to ToonFest 2014 in Marceline, Missouri, September 20th, 2014, for a visit to the original Main Street, USA. Jeremy, host of the Neverland Podcast, will be there to meet you with prizes.
Be one of the first to find me and tell me where you heard this promo, and you win. It's kind of like Where's Waldo, only with a bit of Disney magic thrown in.
He could be watching the parade, shopping for classic Disney items in the antique shops, exploring the Walt Disney Hometown Museum, listening to a cartoonist at the community center, visiting Walt's Dreaming Tree, or eating something.
I'll be the guy in the Neverland Podcast t-shirt stuffing his face. Small town festivals have some of the best food.
Kettle corn. For full details, visit www.neverlandpodcast.com or www.toonfest.net. If you're planning to make a trip to Marceline, Missouri on September 20th, Jeremy would love to meet you. The parade begins on Main Street at 10 a.m. Central Time. Don't miss it.
Yay! So, as I've been going out to Marceline for Toon Fest for, golly, how many years now? About 4 years? Have I done?
We've been going. It's not, you've been by yourself, but I've come along as well. It's been at least 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, because I think the first time I went was in 2009. And so this, I think this will be my 5th year. But this year, I actually have a show. Now, are you going to come out with me this time? Because you're part of the show. You should meet people.
I guess it depends on how much homework I have to do.
Oh, well, yeah, student homework, not your... Well, you'll have your own
homework.
I'll
have both.
Yeah, she's trying to go for her master's, kiddos. So, well, so are you interested in what my this big plan is?
Yeah, so what is this big plan of yours?
Okay, well, I was talking about Jesse having been at Friends of the Magic. Okay, now his trip is time-locked. You know, it's a fixed point in history, so we really can't let him know because it may alter something.
Know what?
Well, that we are about to arrive in Disneyland during Friends of the Magic and take a ride with them. Okay, all ashore and keep quiet.
Thank you.
right. Well, was that fun?
Yeah.
I don't think he saw us at all.
No, I don't think he did. I think we
got by with it. We're sneakier than Indiana Jones. So, okay. Well, now that we're back on the TARDIS, let's see. What should we do next?
Hey, what does this button do?
The angels are coming for you, but listen. Your life could depend on this. Don't blink. Don't even blink. Blink and you're dead. They are fast, faster than you could believe. Don't turn your back. Don't look away and don't blink. Good luck.
Well, that was kind of ominous. I don't think that was meant for us. Do you?
Oh, I don't know. I don't care. I'm keeping my eyes open. I'm not blinking. Not blinking.
Okay, well, you keep your eyes open. I tell you what, let me see if I can figure out a way, and we'll try to calm our nerves a little bit. Hang on. See, wasn't that nice?
That was really pretty.
Yeah. Well, that is by these their twin harpist, Camille and Kennerly, that I found out about. They have a YouTube channel under Camille and Kennerly. They're twin harpists, and they have a lot of videos, and they have a couple of CDs where they play fantasy music and actually do some heavy metal covers on electric harps that they play together. It's really cool, and I'm hoping maybe I can get them on the show. I'm going to try to make contact with them because it's really cool. And maybe we can feature some more of their music because it's really, really cool. Okay, but now that we've calmed down a bit, we need to talk about last night's premiere of The New Doctor. I don't even know what season we're on, but this is, well, it's the 12th Doctor, but really he'd be the 13th because there was John Hurt, the hidden Doctor that they didn't like to talk about because he was the warrior during the Great Time War. But they premiered the episode last night with Peter Capaldi as the new Doctor. What did you think of him as a new Doctor?
Well, it's definitely different than what we have been seeing with the last few Doctors, where they're very young, they're very, flirty, just to be honest, you know, especially with their companion. And they do make a point in this one to just acknowledge that fact that this is a different Doctor. You know, I'm not your boyfriend. I'm not, you know, that is kind of what
and
they're trying to go
for. And he's not a hugger.
and he's not a hugger. It's a very different, right now, like a little bit severe, although you could see the new Doctor trying, you know, affecting a little bit of what Matt Smith's Doctor kind of did at the beginning, where he, especially when he's trying to get himself oriented and back to his new body, there was a little bit of the mannerisms that came off a little awkward, but they would because
he just regenerated. It was a big one.
Yeah, yes, it was.
Because he was supposed to be out of regenerations, and then the Gallifreyan, spoiler warning, gave him the ability for who knows how many more new generations.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he was a little stumbly, and it was a little cartoony. At one point, they even had don't want to spoil or anything, but they used a cartoon sound effect, and it was funny. Where they're trying to get him to go to sleep because really what a doctor needs to finish his regeneration is some rest.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to get him to go to sleep, and it is rather comical, though unexpected, the cartoon-style sound effect that was used.
Yeah, I wouldn't have chosen that one. I would have liked to go back to the editor and say, no, don't do that one. Like, pick something a little bit different because this doctor...
Not something that sounds like it came out of Looney Tunes.
Yeah, this doctor is very, very different. And
he's temperamental.
Yes, I feel like there is going to be a little more moodiness, a little more seriousness to him.
Not a David Tennant moodiness, more of that just... he seemed impatient with what he called pudding heads now, all the humans. Anyone who can't keep up with his mind, he's like, well, he pudding heads over here, and he's... He's not very patient.
But even David Tennant's doctor was still fun and funny, and he smiled. And this doctor is not going to smile very much, I have a feeling.
Because David Tennant was grim. He was the one that was kind of dealing with some previous factors where he thought he had destroyed Gallifrey. And he was a little bit... He's known as kind of the grim hero type one. But this one, he's very much focused, very serious. And it's... It's going to be interesting to see where this goes with his friendship with Clara, or his current companion. Because there's been a rumor that Clara is going to be leaving. Jenna Coleman is playing Clara. She's going to be leaving at the Christmas show, but I haven't heard anything to confirm that. And I can see there's potential some clashes going on within the episode, but there was something very special, and I don't want to spoil or anything. But if you, like us, felt that Matt Smith did not get a very good send-off in his final episode, they seem to have made up for it at the end of this episode with a nice phone call. That helps reassure Clara. It fit nicely into the story, I think. And I don't want to spoil her anything, but I thought it was really kind of nice to give him like a second chance to be able to actually say goodbye.
Well, and it is an adjustment for people that have been watching it, and I kind of appreciated the acknowledgement of the adjustment, because me personally, as I'm watching it, the first episode takes me a little while to accept the new Doctor. I mean, and I guess...
Yeah. You got hooked on dating Christopher Eccleston.
I did. I have to say, I love Christopher Eccleston. To me, like, that is the first Doctor that I saw, and that's, like, my Doctor. I guess, you know, I like David Tennant. Matt Smith is a little bit, you know, lower than that. But
he was fun. I liked something I noticed during the marathon, that Matt Smith's Doctor, he had a habit of running along and then sliding to a stop constantly when he was doing stuff. Mm-hmm. He had like that playful charm thing in his interpretation of the Doctor or something.
Yeah.
Well, because each regeneration he gets a slightly different personality, but yet he's still the same person. But it is fun when he comes out and he's like, "Well, gee, I haven't figured out who I am now," and there's that little bit of growing thing.
And I love the joke that Capaldi, and that, as I said, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have heard Capaldi, and it might
makes the joke about his eyebrows, because he does have these like huge bushy eyebrows, and he's figuring himself out and all this stuff, and then he makes a reference to his eyebrows, like, "I got these huge eyebrows," and makes a big deal about it, and it's absolutely hilarious, because, and they kind of do that with each of the Doctors, and they kind of,
"Oh, look, I have kidneys."
Yeah, play on,
still,
you know,
not ginger.
The physical appearance of each Doctor just a little bit, you know, amazing hair or great teeth or you know whatever,
check themselves out in the mirror,
and even in rewatching the one where John Hurt and Matt Smith and David Tennant are all in that very last one before we transition into Capaldi's, and joking about skinniness, like, "Oh, you know, Tennant is proper skinny, not like super skinny like Matt Smith." I mean, they make jokes about their physical appearance, and I appreciate that. I think that That brings a little bit of levity to it.
The show has to have some levity, because they do some dark, scary aliens, which we'll talk about here with a guest. We need to have a guest on. But one thing I do want to throw out that I did enjoy is, because Peter Capaldi has played a character on Doctor Who before, I like the fact that he was like, "Oh, there's something familiar about this face. I know there was a reason I chose it, but I just can't seem to think of it. But I know my face." Mm-hmm. And I like that acknowledgement, because it kind of goes with, you know, the Matt Smith Doctor has been around for, you know, he's been hundreds and, you know, he's now 2,000 years old after all the hundreds of years he's spent as the Doctor. So it does give that little bit of forgetfulness of maybe having seen that face before, but yet a recognition that, "Oh, wait a minute, I've seen this face that I now look like before." So I did appreciate that. But overall, good episode?
I think so, good episode. I want to rewatch it, just because the first time you kind of have to adjust to the change in Doctors and everything like that. But I want to see it again, and like after, you know, seeing it just to see it again and let it sink in a little bit.
And we need to talk to some extra people. We need a bit more experts on here. If you all will pardon me, I need to make a couple adjustments here. It's starting to come in there. Sherry, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. It worked. Okay. So I had to make a couple of quick adjustments there. Things don't always work in this TARDIS. For some reason, it's like it got a mind of its own.
I know. I was doing something else, and you completely just binged me up there. Oops, wrong reference.
Wrong reference, but quite a few similarities. But anyways, okay, so we have a special guest on here. This is Sherry Moss, who I've known for years, and you've been watching Doctor Who a lot longer than I have. Heather and I just got into this, probably about 2 years ago.
Eccleston.
Yeah, well, but that's when we started watching.
Yeah.
About the time we got Netflix, because people had been saying, "Oh, you need to be watching Doctor Who." So I thought, well, let me just kind of see, and I thought, well, let me watch an episode, and I when I got in there, I really didn't understand how it worked. I thought, okay, is this where they've rebooted this series and it's a brand new and I don't have to understand anything from this old show or whatever I guess it used to be on? And it wasn't until later I started figuring out or learning about how they've had multiple doctors throughout the years. And so you could actually really step in from the 2005 series and be able to follow right along. And even as they've introduced the villains, they've introduced them in a new way. And you find out later that, oh, wow, these were villains from way back in the 60s. But you can actually catch up real quick. So
Yes, and they've actually improved the special effects quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
It's much better production values. I started actually watching it in, I don't remember if it was 77 or 78, back when it was just on Channel 19, PBS. We didn't have cable yet. I mean, I think it existed. We personally didn't have cable yet. I met a girl in junior high, and she was enamored of the doctor, and that was Tom Baker, the fourth guy with the long scarf, multicolored scarf. And so
big
we...
Big afro.
Yeah, the big curly natural afro. We started pretending to be different characters. I was Sarah Jane because I wanted to be a journalist. And we actually had one of our other friends was K-9. And we know she's not a 10 dog, but she was the 10 dog. And we had Harry Sullivan, who was another companion that went around with the doctor and Sarah. So I don't know, just weird teenage stuff. But I started watching it then. And kind of, you know, as they switched to the fifth doctor and I went off to college, I got married, I lost track of it a little bit. I never saw the sixth or seventh doctors. The eighth doctor was a TV movie. I did see that one.
Yeah, the only thing I saw of the eighth doctor is they did sort of like a prequel type of thing here recently before they did
the 50th. The 50th Day of the Doctor?
They were coming up on the 50th, and they were going to have all the doctors. They did that little preview thing on YouTube where you could see the 8th Doctor and how he transitions into the in-between John Hurt Doctor that no one had ever heard of before, where he wasn't
right.
The Doctor in that time.
Right. So. They kind of threw that in. But you know what? I have got to give Russell Davies and Stephen Moffat credit. They have really done a good job working the older, like you said, the older villains in, but then also making it, you know, where you can just jump in. It's pretty accessible. Yeah. I always tell people to start with the ninth and just go from there.
Yep.
Because I honestly, we're so jaded, you know, the special effects and the acting ability. I think if you went back and started with the classics, you probably wouldn't stick with it now.
Yeah, we've tried to watch some of the classic. I watched some of the Black and White with the first Doctor that's on Netflix, and it's all in this Mayan temple. And
I did watch that one.
It takes so many episodes to develop the story, and it goes so slowly that I have a hard time keeping with it.
There is a movie. I have to think of the name of it, or I have to look for it. But it is. We just saw it the other day on BBC America, and we didn't watch it yet. I think we might have recorded it. But it is about the original, the making of Doctor Who, and why they switched actors, and how they came up with the whole regeneration idea. And William Hartnett, the first Doctor, is actually played by the same actor that plays Argus Filch, and right now I can't think of his name, in the Harry Potter movies.
Yeah.
It's David something. I'm on IMDb. I'll look it up.
Yeah, I do recall, I think I saw at least half of that. It was like kind of made for TV kind of thing.
It was.
And they had where they weren't sure that they were getting anywhere with it, and then all of a sudden they had the Daleks in one episode, and they thought, well, that's going to be a silly idea. They'll never catch on. And
it took off.
The woman who had created it, hopefully I'm not spoiling anything, but she overhears a couple of boys running and playing, going, exterminate, exterminate, and suddenly she knows, we've got a hit now.
I just found it. It's called An Adventure in Space and Time.
Yeah.
So that's kind of an explanation of the early years. I'm interested in watching it. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Not sure how factual this actually will be. But
I don't know.
A BBC thing on J.K. Rowling that I thought, well, this might be interesting. But in the first 5 minutes, it was so hokey that I was like, I can't believe that this is.
Well, I hope it's not like that.
Yeah. This one seemed a bit more believable, but I guess that only part of it. See, at this point in the show, everybody will have heard our review of the new Doctor, but I don't suppose we've actually explained this to anyone who maybe has never sat down and watched this and only has heard of it. How would you explain Doctor Who?
Interesting you should ask that. This year, I teach high school, and I was given a room with a blue cabinet. It was already blue. And I thought, oh, this is cool. I'm going to make little windows and a little sign. I'm going to make it a TARDIS. And some of my students have heard of it. Some have not. So I have my little two-minute who the heck is Doctor Who speech that I've been giving every day. So I'll just give it again. Basically, the Doctor is of another, he's an alien race. He's a Time Lord from Gallifrey. He stole a time machine and has been traveling the universe. The time machine he stole was broken. It's supposed to have a chameleon circuit, so it's supposed to change. If you land in a forest, it will look like a tree. If you land in the ocean, it will look like a whale, etc. But his is broken, so it's easier on the budget to always have a blue, you know, box built in whatever set you're in, so they stay with the blue phone box. And I explain, you know, to them what a police box is, because those don't exist in England anymore.
Yeah.
But,
and we're not British.
That darn shame there, but I wish I were. Basically, you could call the police. There's a little door. There's a phone. You call the police. They come and put the bad guy in the box until the paddy wagon can get there and get him. It also had, some of them have the circular St. John's ambulance symbol, and that showed that, there was emergency equipment in there if you needed to resuscitate someone. So anyway, he travels around, and he seems to like Earth because he's here a lot, but he can actually go anywhere in time and space. He usually has a human companion, but not always. And the companion is kind of our window into his universe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much it. The only other thing that I tell them is, they'll say, why are there 12 guys? I'm like, well, he's always the same doctor, but if he is injured or his body gets old, or they just flat can't work with that actor anymore, he will regenerate, and you will get a new doctor. And usually with the new series, the new doctor also has a new TARDIS design.
Yeah, wild changes.
New screwdriver, kind of a reboot. And I think that's probably the only way we've lasted since 1963, with that short little break in the 90s there.
Yeah, the short break when I guess the popularity had kind of dropped, and they really needed something to kind of spark it again. And the 2005 bringing it back with that.
Right.
Now, see, I haven't seen a whole lot of the older series, but I think some of the strength of the newer series is because each episode is kind of like its own weird mystery. In fact, there was a Doctor Who book I listened to the audiobook of that had one of his friends describe him as Sherlock Holmes crossed with the Mad Hatter.
Oh, yeah, that sounds apt.
Yep, so you have this guy who's solving these weird sci-fi-style mysteries throughout, you know, space and time. And I think what's kind of carried it is this, from what I've seen of the newer versions, it's a little bit darker tone and a lot scarier. It seems like they've taken a little bit of that, a little bit of a horror movie's perspective with all his villains, so they seem more frightening. And you realize the only thing that's preventing these horrible alien creatures from destroying us all is some guy with a screwdriver.
Exactly. Well, and you bring up a couple of good points there. He's never armed. He never uses violence.
Right.
And makes a point about that, actually.
Yep.
Not to use violence or allow other people around him to use violence. Back in the older days, we had a guy named Brigadier General Lethbridge Stewart who was going around blowing things up. So he was part of UNIT. He's not there anymore. His daughter, I think, is still involved in it. There was something else I was going to say. Oh, in the older days, there would be maybe little mini series, 5 episodes, maybe 6 episodes of the same plot line that would leave you on a cliffhanger. And now they tend to only maybe do 2 that are connected. Like you'll have the Family of Blood or Human Nature and the Family of Blood. Those 2 go together. Those were David Tennant ones where he was human for a bit. And those are really good. But originally it was a children's series that was supposed to teach about history.
Yep.
And they've retweaked it a bit. But so the monsters, it's never really too scary for children, supposedly. But yeah, some of the newer ones I think are a little frightening.
Yeah, they're just that frightening visage, and the way like the silence would be there and then they weren't there.
Yeah. Or, you know, now my daughter, who's 18 years old, is scared of the angel in my grandma's front yard because of that. But anyway, it's kind of interesting. Last year, we had a down day, and I showed Blink, just that one episode with the Weeping Angels. And these kids, they were cracking me up because they're teenagers, they're high school. And they were, oh, turn this off. This is scary. This is creeping me out. I said, didn't you just tell me you just saw Saw number 4 or whatever? And you like horror movie? Like, how is this scaring you? But it was suspenseful, and they didn't like it, which I thought was really funny.
The modern horror movie isn't about horror anymore. It's about blood and guts and gross out and shock value. And when you reach back to the old school type of thing, like...
Yeah, Rear Window,
A pretty good example. We watched, because it was an inspiration for the Haunted Mansion. Look at Disney part in the Disney podcast. Since it was an inspiration, we found the black and white Haunting.
Oh,
and that's thought scary. We'd sit down and watch
it. The Hill House? Mm-hmm.
Like the Haunting of the Hill House, the old black and white one.
Scary. And creepy.
Yeah, it's very creepy.
The old one
creepy.
Was scary. I mean, it was really scary in comparison to the newer one.
Yeah.
The newer one was kind of cool. I was a stylized. It wasn't like super good, but that old black and white one actually made me about fall out of my seat at one particular scene when one of the characters is climbing up a spiral staircase and somebody's been missing in the house, and she opens up like this kind of attic doorway, and this face comes out and just opens and closes the door, and I about fell over.
I'm not a big fan of scary movies. They scare the tar out of me. I'm not good at it. Shaun of the Dead is hilarious. I can watch that all day. But
I tried to watch that. It was too disgusting. I saw a scene where they were pulling a guy's intestines out, and I was like, no, I'm not watching.
Okay,
that's gross.
But it's funny. I mean, just don't watch that part, but it's really funny. But anyway, I'm not a big fan of scary things. So honestly, with Doctor Who, you kind of have options now, because the Sarah Jane Adventures are more for children. And you can watch those, and they don't have scary doctor or scary villains at all, but both the 10th and the 11th Doctor have made appearances on there. And then, of course, Elizabeth Sladen has passed now. Sarah Jane, actress, has died.
Oh,
so
I didn't know that.
She had cancer, and she worked like right up until the day she didn't even tell them that she was that sick. So I admire that about her. But anyway, then you also have Torchwood, which is the other side. And that is like way gory and gross and scary. So you kind of have the Doctor Who's in
the
middle.
Items, the side shows or whatever you want to call
spin-offs.
Them. I don't know if the spinoffs are on BBC America or only on Netflix. I've seen Torchwood is on Netflix.
They're both on. Actually, I believe I rented Netflix the discs of Sarah Jane Adventures, and they are also on YouTube. If we're allowed to say that on here, Torchwood is a lot darker. So Doctor Who's the middle, and it's kind of interesting. The whole Torchwood thing is it's the same letters as Doctor Who. They're just mixed around. And now you're both trying to see if that's true. It is right now.
Okay. So, like, speaking of villains, like, what is the scariest villain that you think is on Doctor Who? The angels, for me. I mean, that scares me probably more than any of the, and they're always, and it's not just the Weeping Angels. I mean, I noticed we watched the one on the Titanic where they were the stone angels,
but they
were robots.
The metal
and there always
robot.
Seems to be an angel. Like, angels are the villains.
Actually, the devil shows up in one episode.
Yeah.
That was pretty creepy. That was the one with the ood where you're first introduced to them. And,
yes.
And they start quoting Revelation every once in a while. And you're like, then they like don't know what just happened. I do not know what you mean. How can I serve you today? It's like, you were just telling me we'll all perish in flames.
And then it's like, I'm sorry. You know, they hit the little orb to make it, you know, light back up. Let's see. I mean, there's been a lot. I've watched a lot over the years. I'd have to go back and watch. But I really think the newest master that was so, like, gleefully evil.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was, you know, like, oh, here come the drums. And he's all, like, rocking out and stuff. And he's just kind of, he's just too happy about it. I don't know. He creeped me out.
Yeah, sinister.
I would really
very
like to
sinister,
go back and see
word.
Some of the old Master episodes to see what he was like before.
In the movie, he was actually Julia Roberts' brother, Eric Roberts, and so he wasn't all that scary, to be honest with you. But this newer guy was just so unhinged. He was
Oh, yeah.
So he creeped me out.
And now he's got a new series called Intruders that they've been advertising all day during a Doctor Who marathon.
I know. That's what, like I said before, you know, we started recording, I'd been watching BBC America's The Musketeers. Well, I guess the BBC, and then now it's on BBC America. And I've really enjoyed Cardinal Richelieu, which is Peter Capaldi, and now he's got to leave. I don't know if they're going to kill him. Tomorrow night's the series finale, so I don't know whether he's got going to die or just disappear. I mean, you know, if he's a real historical character, I don't guess you can kill him.
He's just a book character, so I mean,
okay.
I'm sure they haven't followed the book so much in that series.
I don't think so. I started to read it and was like, oh, the Queen's not nearly as nice as, you know, as she is in the show.
That doesn't resemble the Disney version at all.
No, but I am kind of interested that they're going back to an older Doctor, because we've had a you know, Eccleston wasn't that young, but we've had a couple of younger ones now, Let's see, Tom Baker was probably in his 40s, and the men before him were all older.
Yeah.
I think Hartnell was maybe 60s, Patrick Troughton was 50s or 60s, Troughton, I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. John Pertwee was white-headed, curly hair. He was probably also 50s or 60s, and yet Tom Baker in his 40s. Peter Davison, was younger. He was probably 30s, and I believe his daughter has been on Doctor Who
as the Doctor's daughter.
And married David Tennant, yep. That is correct. even though at one point he was dating the girl in the fireplace. apparently. But seriously. Sophia, whatever her name was. Anyway, and then they had gone, let's see, from him, there was another curly-haired younger guy. And then, of course, Radagast the Brown, what's his name? He was the seventh Doctor. Sylvester McCoy.
Ah.
So he was older.
He was one of the Doctors.
He was the seventh Doctor.
Wow. That's cool. That's pretty nifty.
Back in 90-something, maybe, 89, 90. And then, of course, Paul McGann was younger. And they've gone young with these last three, and now we're back to an older man. So I'm interested to see. I think maybe they're trying to take some of the flirty romance out of it that we've had. You know, Martha Jones had a crush on the Doctor. It was David Tennant, who wouldn't, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You had that little bit of flirtiness with Amy before you realized she was going to end up with Rory. Hope no spoilers to people who actually haven't watched it.
Yeah. Actually, my two favorite companions, though, was Rory and Amy. They were just fun, the two of them. And Rory was probably the coolest companion.
He was. I loved Rory. He was a sweetheart.
Yeah, because he didn't seem like he was, like, that tough. But when it came down to it, you know, this is the guy that, after his brain was a plastic man, waited 2,000 years for Amy to come back.
The boy who waited. Well, you know, they did that with Mickey, too.
Yeah.
Because Mickey was kind of a wuss.
Yeah, he was the cowardly guy at first.
And then he really stepped up and started kicking butt, too.
Now, of course, I always get confused because when you see the kick butt version, I've been trying to figure out, well, is that Mickey or is that Ricky?
And Ricky. I think
because one of them died, I thought.
Mickey died.
Yeah, Ricky's the one that died? Okay. Yeah.
Ricky died and Mickey took his place.
Yeah.
Is that true?
I think that was back when in like this alternate reality where
parallel universe.
There was a parallel universe where the Cybermen were still around. That is one of the things that's always been kind of cool, though, is the Doctor can do something that you think is going to completely eradicate this one villain, and for some reason that they don't always even have to explain, they're back again.
And you're
the
Daleks.
We got rid of these guys.
Oh. Oh, I know. Daleks, we thought we were dead several times, and they're like, oh, there was one little pocket universe, and they're hiding in there. You know,
in fact, like, my first introduction to the Daleks was the library actually had audio from some of the old TV shows, and I listened to an episode of the Daleks, and the Doctor actually went to the Dalek planet and destroyed, they had like a prime Dalek there. I don't know if it was supposed to have been Davros. But he did some. They had worked up like a kind of like a computer virus that they called like the human element that the Daleks actually had wanted. They thought they needed to understand humans so they could wipe them out. And the Doctor knew that. Well, this human element would actually give them enough emotions to where they wouldn't want to do anything, and it would be almost like a virus that would actually destroy them. And he uploaded this virus into the head of the collective mind of the Daleks, and it had eradicated them in this old episode. And I think it was it might have been during the Tom Baker time. I don't know. I couldn't recognize voices. Although he sounded a little bit like John Hurt, actually, I think on that recording. So it might have been somebody else.
I don't know. There have been so many made. Yeah.
I was surprised in the Christopher Eccleston age, the Ninth Doctor, to actually see Daleks around. I was like, oh, I didn't think that I'd get to see any of these things after that audio.
Well, and then Rose supposedly eradicated them again, and then they were back again. And I mean, there's one of those that I don't think the fans will let you kill them because they like them.
You can trap them in a parallel universe and promise them you'll never see them again. But just don't kill them.
Yeah, I don't think they're ever going to completely eradicate the Daleks.
Yeah, and it's sort of like Rory and Amelia or Amy. I don't want to spoil anything, but what would happen to them, it's like they can't really continue with the Doctor, but at least they kind of have a happy ending. You get an idea, well, they were still together.
But he can travel in time.
Life, so.
I mean, he travels in time. They've done ones where they've met Charles Dickens, they met Vincent Van Gogh. I'm sorry, Van Gogh, if you're
British.
He can
always go back and pop up at a time and run into them again.
Yeah, exactly.
He can't apparently take them out of that time. Because there are historical fixed points.
The time lock thing they came up with recently. I don't think they ever had that before. But certain things, you can see why. Because otherwise, I mean, they had that one called Let's Kill Hitler. otherwise, you could go in and kind of jack up things. And we would go, yeah, that never happened. We live in this world. We know that didn't happen.
Yeah.
So I think they try to make it fairly...
Well, you need to say that louder, Heather.
Oh, I was going to say, it just reminds me of wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff.
I have that on my door. I'll try to take a picture. I have a sign on my door that says, if I'm gone, I flip it to the side that says, Mrs. Moss is out exploring time and space in, the library or wherever I'm at. And then the other side says, please don't interrupt. I'm teaching important nonlinear timey wimey wibbly wobbly stuff. And they have to, and please knock, I think I left out, I was supposed to put, I think I left out wibbly wobbly, but I got nonlinear timey wimey in there.
But you've done your entire classroom doorway into a TARDIS then. And for anyone who wouldn't know a TARDIS, what is it? Time and Relative Dimension in Space. That is the name of the ship or time machine that he goes about in, which is bigger on the inside than it is the outside.
Right.
Which has become a running joke for every new companion to go and stick their head inside, then go outside, walk around the police box, and stick their head back inside, look at him and say, it's bigger on the inside than it is the outside. Except for Clara, the first time
she
does it.
She said it's smaller on the outside.
It's smaller on the outside.
Yeah.
And then she asks, where's the kitchen? And then he's like, both times he's like, no one has ever asked that question or said it like that.
They've mentioned that there's a boot closet that was in Tom Baker's. Sarah gets lost and opens the door. There's a room with nothing but shoes in it. So there's a boot closet. There's a pool, which River Song has fallen into the pool a couple of times, I think once. And then there's all kinds of different rooms. And I believe there are different... they alluded to there being different control rooms as well.
Yeah.
So that's why they can look different, is there's more than one.
And it's like an infinite ship. It can always be developing and growing new things apparently all the time. But anyways, so your classroom at the school you teach at, you've done up in a TARDIS, but I guess you've renamed the letters to different meanings for the classroom and things?
Yes, instead of time and relative dimension in space, it is thoughtful, attentive, respectful, diligent, industrious students. And we're going to vote on a TARDIS of the week, our student of the week, and who was the most thoughtful, helpful, et cetera. Not helpful, that was with, sorry. I have another sign that says think before you speak, and it's, is it thoughtful, is it helpful, is it, I can't remember what the I is. is it I can't remember.
Something like that. Is it nice? Is it kind? I think.
Is it important? Is it necessary? Is it kind? I can't remember what the I is. But anyway, yeah, the TARDIS, we're going to work that in. My kids are going to be acronym to death, I should say. Not an acronym. That's funny because it's about time. anyway, they're going to be acronym to death because we also use SLANT, which is sit up, listen, ask questions, nod your head, and track the speaker. So, and it's track the speaker unless they're a weeping angel, or especially if they're a weeping angel. have to look at them all the time.
To explain a weeping angel, actually, I guess if my listeners have been listening long enough, I explained weeping angels to Scott and Tracy of the Disney Indiana podcast when we were discussing favorite villains.
You have to look at them.
Yeah, if you look at them, don't look away. Keep staring, don't blink, because they're very fast, and they're intergalactic assassins that will cast you backwards into the past just to drain the energy of that transfer.
But here's the thing, though. I mean, they're scary and they're creepy, but on the other hand, that's kind of cool. Yeah. I mean, I think I'd like to go back and, like, follow them around and say, okay, could you send me to the Weeping Angel that goes to, like, 1964 so I can meet the Beatles? And you can just, like, touch me and I'll be cool with that. But you can't come back. I mean, once you're there,
You might not like so much into the past when you find out there's no toilets, you know, or something.
Well, I don't want to go that far back.
It's not like you have control on where they send you.
Well, that's the other interesting thing that they've done with the TARDIS is because it is broken, he doesn't have a lot of control about where he goes. And one time the 10th Doctor was going to take, pardon me, Rose to a rock concert in 1979, and they ended up in Scotland in 1879 battling werewolves, which is another story entirely.
Yeah.
But that's where Torchwood actually was introduced in that episode.
Yeah, had the werewolf episode in it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Children of the Moon or something to that effect.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, it was interesting because they were trying to get to, she ends up wearing like, you know, a little tiny denim skirt because they thought they were going to 1979.
Keeps calling her like the naked child or whatever like throughout the episode.
That's the funny one where she keeps saying, I've been ooped in a boot, and he says, no, don't do that. And it's funny to me because David Tennant is so Scots. His accent is so thick when he's not the Doctor.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. One thing I find interesting now that I've been watching this series, and it's been around for 50 years, something else that it hit its 50-year anniversary like a year or so ago was Star Trek. And I've always noticed there's some parallels on certain characters, the main one being the Cybermen and the Borg, which the Cybermen, I believe, were first. But I really think the Borg were inspired by the Cybermen.
I think so, too, just because the Cybermen also had used to be human, and then they were upgraded.
Yeah, they were upgraded.
But I don't think Star Trek has hit its 50th yet.
Yeah, it did.
It shouldn't have.
It was a couple years ago. They made a big deal.
Okay.
They had cookies you could order, special 50th anniversary cookies.
I don't want to – okay. I need to check something out then, because I don't want to argue with you on your own podcast, but I had always thought – that Star Trek premiered on my birthday in 1966, the same week that Batman and the Monkees came out, and I came out. Star Trek premiered, and so we are not 50 yet. Yeah. We are 47. We're almost 48.
Double check.
But we are not 50. I could be wrong on that, but I believe.
Yeah, I remember there was a big deal, and I thought it was the 50th anniversary. It was a couple years ago. 46th was actually in 2012, so they'd be up to 48, so they're not quite up to 50.
Think that it might have been the 25th anniversary of Next Generation that you saw, because that came out the year I got married, and I was married 25 years in 2012. So
here's probably where I've been seeing stuff. The Star Trek 3 is apparently aimed to be released on the 50th. That's probably where I got confused.
Okay,
but
like I said,
it was some sort of anniversary thing that they would kind of come around, but yeah, the next movie is playing for it. So yeah, so Doctor Who actually was first, and then Star Trek, I think, is really in the Next Generation, I think, took the Cybermen, made the Borg. But the interesting thing is the Cybermen really kind of moved a little bit like a militaristic C-3PO before. But
yes.
When we were just watching it on the marathon, this, I think it's called Nightmare in Silver, the Cybermen suddenly get where they're upgrading a lot faster and they're moving a lot quicker, and they start to actually remind me then of the Borg, like the Borg suddenly inspired the newer Cybermen. You know, it's kind of like they inspire each other to take that next step to go and say, oh, really? That's what you did? Well, here's our version now going to be better than even what you did.
Well, if you go back and look at some of the old pictures of the old Cybermen, they literally are men in silver lamé suits with like a plastic or metal mask on. so it's really not, they weren't that scary. Yeah. I think the newer ones really are. And of course, then, you know, they had the episode with it back in the, Dickensian times, I guess, 1840s, 1850s, where they actually had the Cyber King, and they were taking children from workhouses and making them, upgrading them or whatever to be Cybermen. That was terrifying. That one is terrifying because you can hear people like screaming as they're being, they don't want to be upgraded.
Is that the one where even the one woman who was turned, she's kind of fights her programming, and she has like oil that leaks out of the eyes, like she's crying and she,
yes, because she can. No, that's a different episode. That did happen.
That's the one where they're in the parallel universe, and the Cybermen just like show up and they get everybody because they've all got the little earpieces.
So you will either be upgraded or deleted.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, wait a minute. That's the one where they come into the real world, and she's like, I was just doing it for queen and, you know, for queen and
country.
That's right. She's doing my duty. She yells, queen and country, as she's blasting away Cybermen, as she's already a Cyberman. She's got, like, oil leaking out of her eyes like she's dying. Is that what you're thinking?
No, I think we're getting it all mixed up.
Probably.
I need to go back and rewatch, because they do run together, some of them. They use villains over again and again.
Well, if they're good villains, they're worth using again and again, you know?
Yeah, they are. And one thing I would like to point out, except for maybe the Daleks, very rarely do you ever see, you know, the Doctor going, I just have to obliterate this being from the face of the Earth or the face of whatever planet you're on. He's actually trying to get them to calm down and live. calm down and live peaceably with other people. He always gives them a chance.
Yeah.
And he always tells them to run.
Yeah,
he's like, just run. If you see me coming, if you're not going to change, you better run. He's not like, we got to blast them all away out of the universe. He really does kind of, I'd say, preach peace. But you know what I'm saying? He tries to get people to live peaceably, coexist.
His version of making a threat is saying, I am the Doctor and I will stop you.
Right. It's not necessarily you all have to die out. In fact, he was upset with Rose 4. Obliterating the entire race because he thought that they could be saved by that point. But anyway, he's not just out there, you know, guns blazing. As a matter of fact, he doesn't have a gun.
As I mentioned before, and I don't know how many people will remember I said this, and maybe who are not familiar that thought, wait, he's got a screwdriver, what? No, he's not got a Phillips or a flathead. He's got a sonic screwdriver that does all these sonic frequencies, and it's perfect for different types of technology.
Except wood. It doesn't work on wood.
Except wood, because there's no real, you know, there's no technology in wood.
Well, last night he had wood. The one that was on last night, there were wood monsters, and he couldn't fight them because he couldn't stop them because they were wooden.
Yeah. You know what I think he would benefit from, though, is a good EMP. Because really, the most threatening things he's got to deal with are mainly Daleks and Cybermen. And if you just have a good EMP, you could just shut them all down and say, ha, there you go.
Just short them out.
Short them all out.
I like the line. I think Captain Jack says it, where he says, "You know, who looks at a screwdriver and says, couldn't this be a little more sonic?" And then Sarah Jane Adventure, she has a sonic lipstick. Yeah.
Well, they've had was it a sonic laser? The one with the adipose.
I kind of wish.
Yeah, the one lady who the nanny had the sonic laser. Mm-hmm. There's another sonic screwdriver. What the master had one that was.
It was also a laser, I believe.
Yeah, and it would only do it's a biological reference on it, like where only he could use it.
Use it, right? Yeah. Imprint. I do kind of wish adipose were real. I just wish it wouldn't take like all your bones and organs and stuff too.
Yeah, I think that too. With that episode, I was like, you know, I have could just a little bit, and then you know, just stop after a while. And
they're cute.
Turns into weird little aliens and pops out of you.
They're so cute.
And goes off on their own ship.
They were really cute. Like, those are one of the cute, I guess, villains. I don't know.
I mean, they weren't really trying to hurt anybody. They just needed to hatch from their little eggs, and they'll just pop out of your body, and you'll be fine.
Oh, and they eat fat. I mean, you know, it's a win-win.
It's a win-win.
How's the bad thing? Yeah, I think I've seen like dolls of them, like a little rubbery doll. I kind of want one. I mean, just kind of cute.
It looks like the Pillsbury Doughboy if he's being a little fake. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you blew one up to about, you know, 50 stories high, it'd be Stay
Puft Marshmallow, Marshmallow Man. If someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes.
Or, as an actual Doctor Who quote, if somebody asks you if you want to be queen in the universe, you say yes.
Yeah, I'm sure they stole that. There's some really good lines that you can steal.
Oh, yeah. A lot of borrowing. But you can do that in the geek circles, and we'll be like, hey, we get it. It's a tribute. Yay.
Yay. I don't know. It's a lot of fun. I've shown when we read Romeo and Juliet, I showed the Shakespeare code, which actually works better with Macbeth because it's the three witches, blah, blah, blah. But we don't read Macbeth in freshman English, so I couldn't use that. I'm sorry, the Scottish play. You're not supposed to say that.
Yeah, Scottish play. Anyone who's seen Blackadder will be probably thinking the same thing we are.
Yep.
If you haven't watched Blackadder, it's on Netflix as well, and find the Scottish play and laugh your pants off or whatever.
Yep.
Your butt. You can say, or bum. Laugh your bum off. There you go.
Laugh your bum off. We try to keep it a family show around here.
There you go, bum. but anyway, like I said, I've had fun this year because even students that don't have me will come by and say, you know, I just want to look in your room. Can I just look in your room? I have a Dalek on the doorway that says exterminate profanity in the classroom. I also have a Cyberman, which you may, if you find those pictures to put up, I hope you do. But I have a Cyberman that says if you use your phone in this room, it will be deleted from your possession. But, you know, I have a few people that don't get it, and that's okay. And then I have other people that say, when are we going to talk about Doctor Who? Like, it's not actually a class about Doctor Who.
Yeah.
It's just the decor in here because I went a little crazy with the the blue closet. But it's been pretty fun. There's a sticker, a wall sticker that I want to get. And I just heard that quote last night as we were flipping through for this marathon where he's tucking little Amelia Pond in. And he says, everyone's life is a story. Make sure yours is a good one. Mm-hmm. And they have that as a wall quote with the TARDIS at the end of it flying off. And I want that sticker for my room, for my wall.
And then you got to find one of a poster of Walt Disney's quote. If you're not having a happy moment or if you're not happy in your life right now, well, your happy ending hasn't happened yet.
There you go.
So that always reminds me of that, too. But anyways, we've gone on a pretty good long time here, and we want to keep the show kind of regular length this week. But it's been great having you on, and of course, you're welcome back anytime.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for coming on the show. And everybody, this is Sherry Moss, and
she doesn't
really have a website or anything to follow or anything.
I don't. I'm on Twitter. I'm Sherina Sue on Twitter, but I was going to say thank you for letting me be your companion this week. Uh-huh. Yes.
Well, yeah, I had to kind of work you out there through the TARDIS there. I do have my companion for the week there. It kind of sticks with me here for, you know, being the pan. So.
Well, yeah, of course.
That would be me.
I was going to say, you have to do that.
The official companion for this week.
You can have more than one companion. You just can have only one life companion. There you go. Yeah,
exactly. And we do occasionally, you know, have other companions. Like last week, Jesse was on here, but we weren't companions. He was a co-hosting because this is the only week we get to have companions because this is our Doctor Who week.
I know. That's why I made that reference.
Exactly.
All right. Beam me back down. I got stuff to do.
Okay. Well, I got it. My sonic has been shut down, but we'll just get you. We'll just fly the TARDIS down and drop you off. How about that?
Thank you. Please stop and don't just open the door and kick me out.
But I'll make sure he stops.
Okay.
Thank you.
If I can land this thing.
All right.
Okay. I think somebody left the emergency brake on anyway.
That's what makes that noise.
Exactly. And yeah, that went over the heads of anybody who doesn't watch the show.
It's all right. They're going to start now, aren't they? Yeah,
that's right. You will now watch this show.
Okay. Thank you.
Right. Well, thank
Bye.
You.
Bye.
Well, wait a minute. Did you order some statues or something? What are these statues?
I didn't order any statues.
Well, you keep your eyes open, and, you know, I think it's about time we gave this TARDIS back or took it back to Neverland, and I just kind of think I will leave it somewhere.
Yes, I agree. I think we need to return this quickly.
Yeah. Well, but real quick, We would like you to subscribe to us and rate us on both iTunes and Stitcher. If you search for the Neverland Podcast, you'll certainly find us. Or if you go to neverlandpodcast.com, I do have links for you to subscribe through iTunes and Stitcher. Also, to leave us a review, because we do love reviews around here. They're wonderful things. So give us a review. It does help more people to find us. And we love it also when you share with your friends about the Neverland Podcast and tell your friends about us. Now, what if they want to follow us on Twitter?
Well, you can follow us at Neverland P Cast.
That is the letter P.
Yes, the letter P.
Neverland P Cast, at Neverland P Cast, right?
Yes.
And Facebook. We're on Facebook, too, at facebook.com/Neverland Podcast. Or you can send us an email
at podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
Or if you'd like to call and leave us a voicemail, that is 816-226-6492. And all of this information can be found at
neverlandpodcast.com.
No, not the, just neverlandpodcast.com.
Sorry.
Yes, make sure you don't make that mistake, because I bet I confuse a lot of people with that website. So, yeah, come back next week, because we are planning to have a fun show with Richard and Sarah from Skywalking Through Neverland to talk about Star Wars Rebels. And, boy, after that, we're coming up September, the fall season. Lots of fun. A lot of new shows coming along that we can talk about. Plenty of fun to be had.
Lots of festivals. Lots of festivals.
Festivals. Yes. Don't forget about Toonfest. Come on out and meet me and possibly Heather, maybe Philip. I'm not sure who all is going in our group, but come out. Yes. It's a whole lot of fun. I have a lot of fun there. So, and you can learn a lot of things, too. Okay, but I think we've got through just about everything. Do we need to send off any special messages other than to remember to keep your pixie in your pocket? That way, whenever you need to, you can pull her out and give her a sprinkler on you and some other people. And in fact, I still want to hear people's stories about how you're spreading a little bit of pixie dust in somebody else's life, or they're doing something to spread a little pixie dust in yours. And by that, I mean doing something nice for somebody. Just do something good. Make somebody's day a little nicer. And if somebody does something nice for you, let us know. We want to be able to share those nice positive stories as well. So once again, we, you know, call us on the voicemail, send us an email, let me know on Twitter, share those stories, and we'll share them with everybody else, and it spreads that pixie dust around to everybody else. So until next week, God bless, and Geronimo Alonzi, and make sure you have your banana.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.